Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy Baseball Live. We're here every Sunday evening talking the game of baseball, talking the game of fantasy baseball, talking whatever the heck we want to talk about. And we were off last week. I said we're here every Sunday evening, but I just lied. So we were off last Sunday, and happy anniversary. Happy New Year to everyone. Hope you had a great Christmas time and Hanukkah time. I think Hanukkah and Christmas occurred simultaneously this year. I celebrate Christmas. I don't know a ton about Hanukkah. In fact, maybe one year we'll invite one of our Jewish friends. In fact, we have a rabbi in one of our leagues, Ari Sunshine, who maybe can tell us all about Hanukkah and enlighten the Gentiles on Hanukkah. But anyway, hoping everyone enjoyed time with family, and everybody should be getting back to work. I guess tomorrow is a national holiday, at least here in the U.S. I'm assuming in Canada and other parts of the world. We'll all get back at it on Tuesday to work. But without further ado, let me bring on the great Tim McLeod. Happy New Year, Mr. McLeod.
Happy New Year, Rich. Do we have a lag tonight?
No, we don't.
Wow, that is absolutely amazing. I tried three times to get through, and the Blog Talk lady hung up on me all three times. Got it on the fourth, I think, or the third. But anyhow, I hope you had yourself a very nice Christmas, other than the reoccurring cold situation.
Oh, my gosh, Timmy. And just tell everybody, I got a terrible cold. I mean, I don't feel bad at all, Timmy. I had a cold. I thought I got rid of it, and then it came back with a vengeance this past week, and it's all in my chest. So, you know, you get that chesty cold. It sounds like literally you're barking up a lung. If that happens, I don't know, Tim. So.
Yeah, we'll go minute by minute, just like the song, Rich, and go from there.
That sounds perfect, Timmy. So how are you? How was Christmas?
Christmas was good. Spent time in Thunder Bay with the kids and the grandkids and got spoiled. And I got a John Ullerud autographed baseball coming to my place. The young kid sucking up, eh? And good for him. And we had a lot of fun.
So John Ullerud, really? I didn't know that was a favorite of yours.
I liked him when he was with the Jays, and the kid probably got a deal on it. So, hey, I'm happy.
There you go, Timmy. I'm going to, just in case we get disconnected, I'm just going to send you an invite. So if it gets bad on the phone, you can just, what is this thing saying? Make sure I did it right. Do that. So Timmy, as you know, what's going on here? Uh-oh. Do you want to leave this site? No, stay. There we go. Okay. Now it's off. All right. Now it's good. So a little behind the scene. So what we're going to be doing today is, you know, beginning of the new year. It's time to basically start our draft prep. So one of the things we'll be talking about is just power. And I wrote up all kinds of stats. I did that. I was coughing.
Mm-hmm.
Just how much power has come into the league, whether it's real or not, and like what do you do about it when you're drafting a team? So we're going to do that today, and then starting next week, Timmy, we're going to go as we always do, position by position, starting off with catching. And it sounds like you might actually have your rankings either done or almost done.
Well, yeah, I'm working position by position, and I just sent you some brief notes. Does that work for you if I provide that a week or so in advance for each of the shows as we go through position by position, Rich?
Timmy, if it's okay with you, we'll start with catcher and go around the horn. So
okay.
Just catching, because I think you sent me catchers, right?
Yeah, I sent you some of the catchers. Yeah, I was you know, moving a mouse to do that copy and paste thing sometimes is tricky, so I didn't get them all in the first try.
Okay, well, so Timmy, you know, you know about the shortcuts? Do you know about the shortcuts?
I'm just learning the long cuts, Rich.
Okay, well, let's just say, you know, shortcuts, Control-C, Control-V, that's your copy and paste, my friend. So just you like cover your mouse and you control C, control V, and you're good. Try it one
yeah,
day.
Yeah, no, I've tried that, but the problem I have is moving the mouse around, okay?
Oh, or the mice, Tim. Do you have two mouses? So don't make
plural,
me laugh.
Me,
that's the other thing.
That's
you cannot make me laugh.
Okay.
Don't make me laugh, Tim, Mr. McCloud. Stop it.
Yeah, Rich, I'm not even trying, okay? That's what's bad about this whole thing here is that I know at some point in time I'm going to say something stupid, and there'll be a gap at your end for about 30 seconds while you're coughing up a lung, right?
That's right. I do have a mute button, so if you don't hear anything, Timmy, I probably am coughing, so hopefully I won't do that. But anyway, so we're going to go position by position, and as you heard,
mm-hmm.
Tim's working on it, so we're going to start off with catching next week. I did join an NFBC league, Timmy, so I do have all the NFBC ADPs to go on, so we can talk about that.
Okay.
We'll talk about your rankings and maybe where they differ. And then also, so we'll do that starting next week, so catcher then first and second, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And then tonight we'll continue our top 30 questions of, I forgot where we are, and if I can hold out, then we'll do a prospect list that you've prepared, and we'll continue on with that as we go. But I think I'm really looking forward to these shows going up towards kind of catchers and pitchers and catchers reporting, Timmy. And we're talking 6 weeks, exactly 6 weeks from today, we're going to have people throwing baseballs in Arizona and in Florida.
Yeah, the long wait is becoming a very short wait, Rich. And yeah, you can just see it on the site. People are getting enthused. We're into the new year now, and there's a few players left to sign, but people are getting into the NFBC draft and holds. And how's your team shaping up? Are you happy with
Not good, Timmy. I need to. Part of it is I joined one really early because I wanted to get the rankings. I didn't want to call Greg and Tom and say, "Can you give me the rankings?" I feel cheap doing that, Timmy. So I figured I'd join the league, and I joined it a couple of days ago. And what happens is, everybody in the Facebook group and all my readers see my name pop up. And of course, I think it's, they all want to basically draft with me because so they can beat me. So I'm convinced of that. So a lot of people join that league.
Well, yeah. And that's fair, Rich, because you do have a rep in this industry and people want to play the game with you. So, part of the price we pay, right?
Yep. So let me tell you and I didn't do well, Timmy. I'm drafting in the 14th slot.
Okay.
And it went pretty normal. Trout, Bryant went second. I thought it was interesting. Arenado went third. Mookie Betts slid all the way to fourth, which I thought was real value there. Altuve went fifth. Goldschmidt, who was really who I wanted. So my KDS, Timmy, I was putting 4, 5, 6, 7 as where I wanted to draft because I really wanted to go after Goldschmidt. Even though it's first base, I wanted those stolen bases. And I think in this particular draft, stolen bases went off the board in a hurry. So in the third round, Billy Hamilton was gone. Trey Turner went in the first round. And D. Gordon went in the third round as well. So the speed went off the board in a hurry. D. Gordon, in fact, the first pick in the third round, Billy Hamilton went seventh pick in the third round. But anyway, after Goldschmidt with Harper, Machado, Kershaw, Scherzer, Turner, Rizzo, Donaldson, and I picked Carlos Correa. I went with the Tim McCloud strategy, and then I came back around with a bit of a surprise pick, and that was Joey Votto. Then I came back, and in the NFBC, you've got to go with pitching pretty early. So I came back, and pitching was flying off the board. Verlander was gone, Sale was gone, Kluber was gone, Price gone, Lester, Arrieta. I went with Chris Archer. Came back around and picked up Ryan Braun. So I got one outfielder. And Timmy, you are absolutely 100% correct. Outfielders, I don't know what happened. They don't exist. So they're tough. I mean, it's really, really – I mean, there's not much left in like impact outfielders, and we're in the seventh round now. Then I came back in the fifth and picked up Craig Kimbrell because you got to get closers early, and came back around with Jacob deGrom. Hoping for a little bit of a bounce back. So my first six picks are Carlos Correa, Joey Votto, Chris Archer, Ryan Braun, Craig Kimbrell, and Jacob DeGrom. Timmy, what do you think?
That's not bad at all. I'm surprised you got DeGrom that late, Rich. Usually, I would have figured in an NFBC, good old Jake would have been off the board before the sixth. Excuse me. When you told me that, you know, Archer, and then I'm looking at four bats, before you told me DeGrom, I'm thinking, uh-oh, he's got problems with his pitching. But I think DeGrom helps out just a ton. The only concern that I have is the obvious one. Stolen bases, right?
Yep. But I was thinking of Turner, and I thought he would drop to me at 14. And I said, okay, like, I thought Carlos Correa was going to be kind of that bounce back. And I was looking for, you know, I don't know if I'll get 20, but 17 or 18, but I'm thinking of 20 home runs. And I decided the strategy when I realized that stolen bases was going to be a problem. This is what I've decided to do, Tim. You can tell me if I'm crazy.
Okay.
I went with batting average. I've decided to go Carlos Correa, Joey Votto, who, you know, both of those, well, Votto in particular has a chance to hit 300. Ryan Braun hit 300 last year. Carlos Correa, I think, has a chance to hit 300. So I'm going with batting average, and then I'm going to get some cheap power and cheap speed deep down in the draft. And that's how I'm going to try to recover for stolen bases. And I'm looking at everybody else, Timmy, and there's only a handful looking to really have stolen bases. So I think I'll be okay. I mean, Votto will get me 5 or 6. Correa will get me 15 to 20. Braun will get me 15. So, you know, I got about 40 already booked. So,
yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. And you're exactly right because, you know, when you look at the teams, my guess is a couple of those teams paired up on big stolen base guys, okay? So you're going to have, much like we saw last year with teams that ended up with VR, you're going to see 3 or 4 teams that are going to have massive stolen base numbers. But there ain't nothing wrong with finishing 6th in that category, is there?
No, I mean, so, and I've decided, Timmy, this year in redraft leagues, I'm really focusing on batting average. Because
okay.
batting average, there's two schools of thoughts. I would like your opinion on that. One school of thought is batting average is so fluid that, you know, a couple dings and you know, fly balls fall in and all of a sudden a guy's from batting 270 to 295. I mean, it's true, right? Because it's such a small difference between that. But if I'm going with hopefully consistent batting average, I'm never going to have to worry about that category. And as I get later in the draft, batting average is just not available. You can't find it. The better hitters are up early in the draft. So that's why I've decided. I had a chance to go Giancarlo Stanton or Ryan Braun. I love Stanton, a chance that for 50 home runs if he can stay healthy. But I figured I'd go with Braun because I wanted to promote my batting average. So that's my strategy in this league.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with that strategy because you're right. It does fall off, and it falls off with a thud. And when you start drafting players in the first 5, 6 rounds that you know you're looking at 230 to 250, when you get to the latter rounds, 230 could be a good batting average. And you can't support too many of those types and still maintain a solid finish in that category. Last year in tote, it's an OBP league, but I've had, for the most part, the same philosophy for years, and batting average OBP, it's not a huge concern for me. But last year, I finished accumulating the grand total of 1 point in the OBP category. It's going to be more of a focus for me this year, Rich.
Yeah, and again, I'm of the belief that you're right. As you get to the 6th or 7th round, and all of a sudden, I mean, there's a Dustin Pedroia out there and things like that, but he doesn't have the secondary skills anymore. But all of a sudden, you know, you want to pick up Chris Davis, either Chris Davis, but let's call it KHRIS Chris Davis, who's still on the board. You got a chance for 35 home runs, but you got a chance for a 240 batting average. So that's what you have to worry about. And the guys have good batting average. You're going to give me good counting stats, runs and RBIs. And that's what I'm going on, Timmy.
Yeah, no, it makes total sense. And I wish you all the best. I'm going to be very curious where a couple players are going to go. One being Kiermaier for the stolen base potential. And is Edwin Diaz still on the board, Rich?
He's gone.
He is, eh?
Yeah, in the NFBC format, Timmy, closers go early. I was about to do back-to-back closers when I picked up the Grom, but the guy drafting in the 15th slot went Kenny Giles and O. I was going to go Kimbrell and O. I was really going to do that move.
okay.
And when he picked up O, then I'm like, I got Edwin Diaz, Roberto Osuna, Wade Davis, Alex Colomy. Those were the guys next. And I said, you know, they're going to run off the board, so I'll get them back around. I'll probably pick up a closer this turn, and I'll ask you about a couple of them. But, yeah, so I picked up Craig Kimbrell in the sixth round, 14th pick, and then Diaz went off in early in the sixth round.
Oh, geez, that is early. Based on what I've seen so far, you're looking at, you know, eighth round seems to be the round for Ozuna and Diaz and, you know, your second-tier type closers, Kimbrell. Yeah, it's moved up a couple rounds.
Yeah, it does. So I'm looking at this, Timmy, and I'm seeing, well, the first closer went off the board in the third. Zach Britton went off in the fourth round. Chapman went off in the fourth round. And then the closer run started in the fifth and sixth. And I bet you everybody has at least one closer now.
Don't forget about Nate Jones. Don't forget about Nate Jones, Rich.
Yes, absolutely, Timmy, because, you know, if Robertson gets moved, which I think there's a good chance he gets moved, and that's what's a little dicey this year, Timmy, with closers, particularly drafting this early. I mean, Robertson could get moved, and all of a sudden he's a setup guy.
Uh-huh, he definitely is. And you know, if Detroit moves K-Rod, that name that we're supposed to etch in the kitchen table, I'll be pulling the tablecloth up to take a good look at it, Rich.
Correct, Timmy, and that'll be a guy that I'm going to try to get as my third closer. I'll get him a little early because, again, a lot of our listeners listen to the show. So, you know, they're all making fun of my picks, by the way, Timmy. So that's just par for the course, as they would say. But so let me ask you, my next closer, let me ask you what your opinion is here. So let me get over here. So who would you take as your second closer? Familia? Let's see, I have the opportunity of Familia. I have Ramos, who may or may not keep his job. I've got, let's go over here. Let's see who else is on the board still. Sorry, Tim, it's taking a little time. Rodriguez is still on the, K-Rod's still on the board. Dyson's still on board. Robertson's still on the board. Genmar Gomez is still on the board. And that's it for people that are established.
Yeah, I'd probably go Familia.
Yeah, and just worry about the first month as he's out. Maybe try to pick up Addison Russell. The other Addison.
Reed,
thank you.
Yes, Addison Reed. Yeah, you know, Familia's going to get a month, I figure, okay? And if he gets a month, yeah, but there's still 5 months left in the season, and I really don't think when he comes back, he's going to be anything, but he's going to be their closer.
Right.
You know, I think that one's fairly locked in. So I'd probably go with Familia. I wouldn't go anywhere near Genmar Gomez. I'd draft Nate Jones before I draft Gomez.
Yeah. What about going a little deeper? And how about Tony Watson, Timmy?
I have concerns with Watson potentially being traded. I'd rather own Ottavino than Watson. I think Ottavino is fairly secure in Colorado, and I think they're going to have a pretty good team. I think there's going to be opportunities there.
What about Houston Street? Another guy on the board.
I'd rather own Cam Bedrosian.
Yeah. I mean, Houston Street, they're talking about even doing a you know, kind of a competition in spring training. So I agree with you. What about Brandon Morrow, my buddy Brandon Morrow?
Well, based on what I've seen from the San Diego rotation, they're likely to win 40 games this year, of which he might get a shot at 25, of which he'll be successful on 20.
Yeah.
I'm being the optimist, too. Sorry, Padre fans. It is what it is.
So Familia won. What about, would it be K-Rod next?
Well, see, K-Rod could end up in a situation where he's a closer, but he could also end up in a setup role, somebody trying to build a bullpen around the Cleveland Indians model, right? So I would go with a high. If I couldn't get Familia, I'd probably wait a round or two and just go with some setup guys that have high potential and roll the dice and see what happens from there.
Yeah, I'm not buying that K-Rod is – I mean, I've thought through that, Timmy, but I mean, take a look at all the saves he's got, and when he's not been the closer, he's not done well. So, I mean, I think he's
no.
a guy that's – he's a guy that I think if he's going to be effective needs to somehow be in that closer role. So I really think Timmy, and I'm still four picks away from my spot, so, I mean, I might not get any of these guys because, again,
right.
closers go off the board early, so – I mean, I could wait a round or two and hope Ottavino is still there. So that might be what I try to do. I don't know.
Yeah, you do have some options. And let's face it, each and every year we see 20 to 25% turnover in the closer role, right?
Mm-hmm.
What, is this year going to be any different?
I think it's going to be more, Timmy. Because what's hard, Jairus Familia just went off the board. So he ain't there, Timmy.
Well, you know what? I'd be half tempted to go with the best starting pitcher I could find, maybe another bat, a good
yeah.
solid bat, and then go after closers the next round or the round after, Rich.
Yeah, that's a possibility, Timmy, because at some point the run will stop because everybody's looking at these same calculus as I am and going, well, and this is a really good conversation for everybody to listen to because there are 10 to 12 guys that you think are locked in. And then the rest of them, Timmy, it was so early in the year. It's like, what's going to happen to David Robertson? What's going to happen to K-Rod? What's going to happen to fill in the blank? And you just don't know. And it's like, if you pick a guy in the seventh or eighth round, David Robertson, and all of a sudden he becomes the setup guy in Washington, or I guess he would be the closer in Washington, then you're screwed.
Well, yeah, what happens if what happens if you look and you say, well, hey, Sean Kelly right now has got the job hands down. And two weeks from now, Washington trades for K-Rod.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
so,
yeah Sean Kelly all of a sudden. Yeah, it's done. Yeah, I don't know. At some point in time, I think the risk outweighs the potential rewards, and heading in another direction might be the prudent approach. And let three or four other teams roll the dice before you do, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. I think if I think I'm going to take K-Rod if he's on the board. If not, I'm going to go in a different direction. I'll let the other guys sit there, and you know, I'll just, you know, because you don't want to get into a Dylan Patonsis situation where he's second or third in line now, and it's like he was a closer last year, Timmy.
Well, yeah, exactly. There's a lot of questions to be answered yet, and it's one of the reasons I'm going to do an NFBC this year, but I'm going to do one towards the end of March, one of the 12-team 65-second-on-the-clock bits, Rich.
Okay.
I'm going to play that game this year. Actually, I think Ian and I are going to go partners on a 750-12 team.
$750 entry fee?
Yeah.
Wow, Timmy Payne, putting out the big dollars. Wow.
Well, we're partnering up on it, so.
Yeah, so that's, I can't do the math, Timmy. It's still a lot of money. It's beyond my pay grade. I can't do that. Thank you, Timmy. Just don't make me
welcome.
Laugh, McLeod. Don't make me laugh. It's unacceptable.
It's going to happen, Rich. It really is. I know it is.
We've given everybody a closer tutorial by the great Tim McLeod. You know, and again, nobody likes to hear you talk about your team, but I think this is kind of fascinating. You're right in the middle of a draft and taking a look at a lot of players. I'm going to try to get Alex Bregman, Timmy.
Yeah, I would try too. I'm seeing him go in mock drafts, sixth, seventh round, Rich. So
yep.
I think because of the influence of pitching on the NFBC, it's driving some players back a round or two. You know, it has to. When you start moving
yep.
early on pitching like that, some of the bats have to move a bit later. But, no, I love Bregman. I think it's a great pick, Rich. And, you know, the only other thing I can say for all of our listeners is when you're hearing these numbers, remember, NFBC pitching goes early. Don't get into a panic all of a sudden, thinking that you have to draft in your league anywhere along the same lines as you do in an NFBC format. It's a totally different world.
Yeah, so just to add, so the league that I'm playing in, the slow draft, the 50-round, no pickups and so forth, the league that you're playing in, Timmy, I'm assuming is a – there's going to be a waiver wire, correct?
Yeah, there's a waiver wire, 23 with a 6 or 7-man bench.
So NFBC has a bunch of different games, and one of them, the one that's the most popular now, are these 50-round ones I usually play. And the reason I like to play them, again, is for the show because I get the NFBC ADPs early. And then, two, it kills a couple of weeks. I mean, it gives me something to do. So, I mean, it's $150, which is a lot of money. But I got to tell you, you're doing this for 2 or 3 weeks. And to me, it's not an entertainment. And, you know, that's I can waste $150 on a lot of things that are not as much fun as playing in the NFBC. So there's that
you
format.
You could take Lori to the ballet, right?
Hey, you know, I can, a lot more than that, Timmy. It's New York, man. We're not in the middle of nowhere. So anyway, let's get to the first thing, and this is power. Kenny Nolan with our draft kind of opener here. And I wrote some stats up, Timmy. I'm just going to throw them out there, let you kind of comment, and then we'll try to draw some conclusions here. So I did some research, and I kind of took a look at home runs, stolen bases, and slugging over the last 4 years. And basically what conclusion I came to, I mean, it's not a conclusion. The fact is the last 2 years, or actually the last 2 out of 3 years, 2014 was a little bit down from a home run standpoint and a slugging standpoint. But the last 2 years, Timmy, we've grown 17% in home run growth from 2014 to 15, and then we grew 14% from 2016 to 2015. So last year there was 5,600 home runs that were hit, 4,900 home runs hit in 2015, 2014 a bit of a down, and in 2013, 46 home runs. Then if you're going to say, well, how many players hit X number of home runs in 2015, there was 9 players who hit 40, 11 who hit 30, 21 who hit 25 or more. Last season, only 8 players hit 40 home runs, but 30 players hit 30 home runs, and 27 players hit 25 or more home runs, Timmy. So I think it's safe to say power is up.
Well, yeah, there's no doubt about it. When you take a look at 2016 and compare it to 2014 in the home run category, Rich, you're talking about almost 1,500 more home runs being hit over a 2-year span. That works out to 50 per team. At one point in time, some teams didn't even hit 50. I think the Padres might have been in that category a few years ago. That's mind-boggling. It really is.
386 slugging in 2014, 2016, a 417 slugging. So, you know, when you're playing with numbers, Timmy, you can make the numbers mean anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
And I think 2 years would indicate a bit of a trend that I doubt we're going to revert back to 2014, which is definitely, you know, out of those 4-year span I'm looking at, it's the only year that's really off. So I think it's safe to say that home runs are up. Now, stolen bases, Timmy, have pretty much stayed constant. 2,600 stolen bases in 2013. It went up to 2,700 stolen bases in 2014, 2,505 stolen bases in 2015, 2,537 stolen bases in 2016. So stolen bases aren't going down. It's just in relationship to home runs, they're obviously a lot more valuable now.
Well, yeah, and I think what's happened there is, let's face it, as you're hitting more home runs and more balls are flying out of parks, more red lights are appearing. And it'd be very interesting if you took a look at the stolen bases and you removed, say, the top 10 stolen base threats from that total and then analyzed what's left. You're looking at an awful lot of 10, 15 stolen base types. Does that sound fair?
So if we take a look at just what we went through with my team I'm drafting, Timmy, there's the Trey Turner, the D. Gordon, Billy Hamilton, VR, Nunez maybe who's out there. Those are the big guys. Jose Altuve, And Jose Altuve wasn't even all that. I mean, let's take a look at the second half. And then you're right. It drops down to a lot of mid-20s to low to high teens kind of thing. And that's where you're – that's what I'm drafting, Timmy, is I'm getting that swath of players and trying to hold on.
Well, yeah, and that's why playing for fifth or sixth is a smart move, because you aren't going to go any higher than that even if you wanted to, Rich.
Well, in the NFBC, I have a chance, Timmy, because I know prospects, and – I'm going to be able to steal some stolen bases that other people won't be able to steal. So that I feel a little confident in. So as long as I'm
right.
I think you need about 180 to 200 stolen bases to win that category in a 15-team league if you're playing a rotisserie league. But in analyzing all the dynasty leagues that were in last year, Timmy, you need well over 300 home runs to win 15 points in a rotisserie league.
Yeah, I have 270 gets me into where I want, and probably about 140 on the stolen bases. And that
okay.
that gives me a top. That gives me probably fifth in both categories.
I would agree with that. But if you're looking for top three, Timmy, you're going to have to go higher than that.
Oh, if you're looking at top, three in home runs, yeah, you got to be at 300.
Yeah. So how many home runs do you want to come out of the draft with, knowing that you're going to be wrong by 20 to 30%?
I'm saying about 270 as a target for me in home runs.
Okay. Okay. And stolen bases 140. Those are pretty good targets. So
I think they're reasonable, Rich. And the thing is, when you look at stolen bases, what I did was – where I came up with the 140 is I took DL2 last year, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what I did was I removed the top three teams, and I removed the bottom three teams, and then averaged it out. Because what I found last year is there were two or three teams that ended up with VR as a late-round pick, or Broxton, somebody who wasn't expected to steal that level. And I know the top teams in stolen bases were, in most cases, very much over and above the median points. So I just removed them in doing my calculation. And the bottom teams had virtually no stolen bases. I think there were two or three teams that had 60, 70 stolen bases. Obviously, they're rebuilding. So to fit them into the category, it sort of skews the overall results, if that makes sense.
Yep, it does. Yep. That's what's tough about using dynasty leagues as a proxy for all this, because you do get some of those teams that are rebuilding. But I like the logic a lot, Timmy, because you're looking more for medians as opposed to the outliers, which are the guys who had VR. And I'm sure you had VR and DL too, correct? Because I know, because you sniped them from me two picks in front of me. I haven't forgot about that, Timmy.
Well, that's why I put you on my Christmas card list this year, Rich. Okay, I'm hoping
I'm glad you bring this up. Timmy, it wasn't just the Christmas card list. I'm in the Christmas card letter. I'm in the McLeod. My name, Rich Wilson, is in the McLeod. Timmy, it gave me warm fuzzies all over.
Well, I'm so glad it did, Rich. And, you know, after listening to me say that player X, player Y is not going to make my Christmas card list for the past 7 years, you at least had to see that I have one, right?
Yeah, and I made it in there. You know, there's all kinds. It's funny. I'm reading through all the stuff of the McLeod family. I'm going, oh, it's really nice. All of a sudden, I stopped and just like, oh, my gosh, there's my name. I said, Lori, I go, don't read anything else. Just here, I made it into somebody else's Christmas card. This is so awesome. So, thank you.
Well, it's the least I could do, Rich. It really is. And again, I hope you, Lori, and the kids had a great Christmas.
We did, Timmy. So any theories on why home runs are going up? I know you've talked about a ball that's been juiced.
Well, you know what? When you start looking at almost 1,500 home runs over 2 years, I look at the players on the field, and I don't see them being a lot bigger in a two-year span, okay? I think Manfred's lying. Something was done to the baseball that's causing it to fly out of more parks. Granted, I think your fourth and fifth starting pitchers, the quality is probably lacking a little bit over that period of time. We might have seen a bit of a downshift there, but it has to be the baseball. I'm totally convinced of it, Rich.
So I've talked to a lot of people, Timmy, in the industry who, you know, would know. And there have been whispers, I'll say, nobody would say, oh, the ball's juice, but people have articulated that theory. They've said that, you know, that everybody's saying no, but there is that
right.
possibility. The other is just the one that's, I think, the most plausible that I've heard and people talked about was just the fact that people are throwing so much harder. Last year, I mean, more, yeah, now we can say last year, 2016 as opposed to 2015. Every year, more and more hard throwers are coming up, and it's all about velocity, Tim. If you hit, if you swing the same amount of velocity on your swing, but the ball's coming in harder, the ball's just going to travel farther. So there's a lot of feeling that it's just, you know, as we get more and more hard throwers, that you're going to see more and more home runs.
Well, and let's face it, the game right now, I think it's going to transition over the next few years, but right now it's a swing and miss world out there, isn't it? You got big guys swinging for the fences constantly, and when that happens and you have young throwers that are throwing 96-mile-an-hour, 97-mile-an-hour fastballs that are straight, some of them are going to go a long ways, right?
Yep. And basically, when people throw more velocity, Timmy, the tendency is there's less movement on the ball. So that's the other kind of side theory of that, is that with extreme velocity, it becomes more straighter pitches. So you get a guy that's throwing 98 miles an hour. I mean, Kenny Giles is not that example because a lot of his stuff is bending, but he's been homer prone. So if he's not throwing a slider, his fastball can straighten out, because if he knocks it back to 96 miles an hour, probably has a little bit more movement on it, but he tries to muscle it up to 98 to 99. All of a sudden it goes straight. And guys that are well built now as baseball players, and they're strong, and they work on their own bat speed, and they're catching up to those balls, and they're going a long, long way.
Well, yeah. And then you take a look at a pitcher like Britton, who had, you know, incredible success last year. He's not throwing the ball at triple digits like Chapman is he?
No, but Timmy, he's got the one pitch. He's got the sinker, right? And the ball is always going down, always going down. And again, that's why Zach Britton, he throws hard too. So that's a deadly combination. That's a really hard combination to pull off, throwing really hard with extreme, like, bending down on that. And it is a bit of a, you know, there's some Dallas Keuchel on there. It's a very small margin of error. If the ball doesn't sink, ball's going to get hit a long, long way. So, I mean, if you see Zach Britt start to give up home runs or start to give up some really hard hit balls, then you know his sinker's not sinking as much.
Yeah, and when it don't, like you said, when it doesn't sink, they're going to hit it.
The third theory I heard, and the war again, along with the velocity one that I heard people tell me, was just that the game has gotten away from on base percentage. And that it's really become obviously about power and about swinging as hard as you can. And that's where
right.
the money is being made. And people point to the Chris Davis big signing that, I mean, it's a guy that strikes out almost 200 times, a year, but
right.
yet he got paid 20 some million dollars because he can hit 40 home runs. So it's gotten back to chicks dig the long balls. That's where you're going to make the money. Now, what's been interesting is the guys who have a ton of power, this year, all of a sudden, they're stuck. They can't get jobs. I mean, Mark Trumbo is still not signed. Jose Bautista is still not signed. So it's interesting how you might be starting to see some different dynamics that also maybe on-base percentage could start to become more important. And that's the thing. I don't think it'll change this year, Tim, but you could start to see a shift back to more of the small ball type of things, guys wanting to get on base, guys starting to have more of a line drive stroke as opposed to leveraging everything. Because if they start to get paid money, you'll see players start to change that. That was the other theory I heard.
Yeah, and that makes sense. And you know what I think is going to be a difference maker? Is this March, we have the WBC, okay? And we are going to see the number one and the number three ranked teams basically play little ball.
Mm-hmm.
And if Japan and Korea end up playing in the final of the WBC, I think it'll definitely have an influence over what we see in Major League Baseball over the next 2 to 3 years.
That's interesting, Timmy. If Korea makes it into the finals, yeah, that's definitely going to be a statement. But I don't know about Japan. I mean, Japan's historically done pretty well in these kind of international tournaments, particularly if Otana is pitching and hitting. I can't wait to see that. That's it. You know, I got to tell you, Timmy, for the WBC, that's the only reason I'm looking forward to is I want to see him. I've never seen him.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely he's going to be the big draw. Right now, Japan is ranked number one in the world. Korea is ranked number three. The U.S. number two. You won't see Otani going both ways. It's not going to happen, Rich. His manager has already stated that it's going to be one or the other. And in my humble opinion, it's going to be the arm we're going to see, and it's worth watching.
Yeah. So again, Timmy, how are you going to play home runs? Tell me how you're going to deal with power. You're going to power and speed, because I think they're linked together. Drafting strategy, particularly like for a guy like me who's drafting later in the first round. I mean, do you try to go with you try to grab D. Gordon, Billy Hamilton, somebody like that, knowing that Trey Turner and Jose Altuve are off the board? Or do you simply try to get seven or eight guys that are going to get you 15 stolen bases and play it that way? Or do you try to grab power earlier and get batting average, or grab power late? And what do you do?
Well, I think so much depends on your draft slot. And where you're drafting, Rich, it gets tricky, okay? There's no doubt about it. Obviously, everybody wants to grab the five-category player, right? You want the Mookie Betts or the Mike Trout. Take Trey Turner. You want a guy that's going to hit 15, 20 home runs and steal 15, 20 bases, and away you go. But where you're sitting at 14, 15, it isn't there, is it?
No. I tried to get it with Carlos Correa. It was the best chance I had to get a 2020 player.
Yeah, the two players that if you're drafting towards the end, two players that I would definitely focus on, one is Charlie Blackmon and the other is Starling Marte.
So, Timmy, I decided not to get Charlie Blackmon. And I will, and I know you disagree. I'm sure you'll disagree. I'm scared to death he's going to move out of Coors Field. I'm afraid they're going to trade him, and I was unwilling to take that risk with my first two picks. I was unwilling. He was on the board, and I decided not to do that. I can understand if you do, because the skills are definitely there.
Yeah, and you know what? It's a valid concern. If Blackmon leaves Coors, yeah, that is a concern. I don't think he is. That's my feeling. I think Colorado is playing to win that division this year, and I think they want Charlie Blackmon there. The player I'd be more concerned with in Colorado, especially if the rumors that they're chasing Mark Trumbo are real, is David Dahl.
Cargo.
And Cargo. If they sign Trumbo, somebody has to go. And I'd be more concerned about David Dahl maybe spending time at AAA than I would about Blackmon right now. But that being said, I understand the risk factor, but I'd probably still take it, because I think even out of Coors, I think Blackmon could go 20-20.
Yeah, that's fair. It's fair. I mean, I definitely thought about it, and I could have called you, and you would have talked me into Charlie Blackmon. I just didn't want him, Timmy. So, but it's a
fair
comment. Yeah, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
That's why we talk about this stuff, because the logic is there, but sometimes, you know, if you don't believe in it, and I'm not that I disagree with you, Tim. First of all, the beard freaks me out. I can't grow hair that close to my eye. I don't know how he's able to do that. So I think there's a little werewolf in him, Timmy. So that freaks me out a little bit. So no, but I there's definitely logic to take him. I just was unwilling to do that.
Yeah, but where did Marte go, Rich? He's another player
right
I'd
after,
like to work.
Yeah, again. I was going to take Marte, and I looked at the on-base percentage, and there's a lot of risk in his batting average, and that was my strategy was to go with high batting average. So he went probably a couple picks after me in the second round. So going back, so let's see, Blackmon. So it went Noah Syndergaard, Votto was me, Madison Bumgarner, Charlie Blackmon, Miguel Cabrera, Freddie Freeman, Starling Marte.
I think if you're looking at the back, and if you're playing the strategy that you're playing in the game that you're playing, you know, hey, you're either looking at a high-end starting pitcher or you're looking at a solid first baseman, one of the two. because, like you said, there is the risk. Me, on the other hand, I'd be all in, and I would have drafted Blackman in the first round, Marte in the second, and said, thank you, stolen bases solved. Now I can just go about my business.
Yeah, yeah. That's why you're a better player than me. I mean, I'm always overthinking stuff. So I'm one away from on the clock, Timmy. Aaron Sanchez just went off the clock. That was a guy that I was targeting for a starting. I love Aaron Sanchez this year.
So do I. Carmart must be gone, eh?
Who?
Carlos Martinez.
Oh, yeah, he's gone. Yeah, yeah. Quintana is still on the board, which is interesting, Timmy. I mean, it's a guy who might get traded. You know, if he gets traded, is he going to be potentially a new league? I mean, what do you do about a guy who might get traded? Does the value go up or down, or what do you do?
Well, I look at Quintana as being a very, very safe, steady, and now that he's moved on and beyond nine wins, a very, very solid number two starting pitcher. You know, he's been nothing but a model of consistency the past 3 years, improving it. As he's aged, he's only 27, I believe, going into his age 28 season. Yeah, you know what? If you're playing a safe game, I would take Quintana over Sanchez.
Yeah, well, I could pick him up next, Timmy, so I might just do that.
There's 200 innings, 185 strikeouts, and an ERA. I don't care where he lands. His ERA is going to be in the 350 range.
If he stays in Chicago, Tim, is he back down to nine wins?
No. He's too good a pitcher. I don't care.
Yeah, but
that's
a terrible team, Tim.
It's not terrible yet. And
I guess they lost Sale and they lost Eaton. That's it. So maybe they're not that terrible.
Well, no, and we all know super stud of all studs, Charlie Tilson, will fill in for Eaton and they won't skip a beat.
Well, I said something about Charlie Tilson. I don't know where I said that. Oh, I think it's in our questions, Simeon. And speaking of questions, why don't we break here real quick? Let me bring up the little music interlude. Let me see. What is okay? And Timmy, when we get back, we're going to talk about the AL Central.
Sounds good, Rich.
If you guys like the content so far, I've really enjoyed the discussion portion because it helps my team. No, but I think it's good. We've been talking draft strategy using my NFBC draft as illustration of what to do, and simply Tim's been telling us what to do. And I thought his strategy of drafting 14 and picking late in the draft and picking up Charlie Blackman and Starling Marte and calling it a day from a stolen bases is a brilliant strategy. Of course, I decided not to do that with a different strategy, and it'll be fun to see how all that pans out. And then we talked about power, et cetera. But now we're going to move into one of our segments that we do every offseason. That's just looking division by division, and we are now into the AL Central, Timmy. And there's a lot of change, as we've talked about, going into the White Sox. And my first question for you, are you still a believer in Lucas Giolito? And I will ask you that question because – I'm getting a lot of people that I'm seeing so many Twitter questions coming out talking about trading Lucas Giolito for guys that are probably last year you wouldn't even consider drafting or trading them for.
Panic. You know, when he was traded, the initial reaction was there must be something wrong, okay? But why not look at it from the other perspective that the White Sox think that there's something right?
I heard after he was traded, I said, like, what's going on? So I called a couple of my texted a couple of my buddies, and one of them said that, and I quote, the Nationals were foolish because they tried to change his mechanics and it didn't work. That's what he said. I said, why'd they do that? They said it was something to do with long-term health. They didn't like the angle of his elbow and blah, blah, blah. And he just didn't take to it. And he said once midseason came, they said, look, we got to get you to the major leagues, go back to the way you're doing. And things started to turn around. And I said, well, what happened when he went to the major leagues? They go, come on, small sample size, don't worry about it. That's what they told me, Timmy.
Yeah, and you know what? Right now, where I see him being drafted, okay, you're looking at the 22nd round. I'm going to move him up a round or two just on the potential. When you get to that stage of the game, you're looking at basically heading into your bench slots. What's it going to do to move him up a round or two and get him?
Yeah, I agree with you, Timmy. And look, don't lose faith in Lucas Giolito, folks. This is a guy with a ton. 6'6". He throws hard. He's got a vicious curveball, you know. And Cooper, Timmy, he's done amazing stuff with Quintana, amazing stuff with Chris Sale. He's doing it with Carlos Rodon. I mean, this is a guy he's a pitching legend. I mean, I think it's all good for Lucas Giolito.
Yeah, how old is Giolito, Rich?
23. I made that up. 23. That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah, and we're concerned about a 23-year-old with all of his raw skills. I'm not.
No, not with that. Not with the ability. Not with the arm he's got, Timmy. I'm not going to do it. I lie, Timmy. He turned 22 in July, so he's going to enter the season as a 22-year-old, and people are basically not giving up on him, but they're starting to trade him at 70 cents on the dollar. I'm like, please, one of those people join my dynasty league, Simi.
Yeah, and why don't they call me instead of you, Rich?
I know. It's we got sharks in all of our leagues, and these guys know what they're doing. I mean, you try to make a Lucas Giolito for a bag of balls, and they're going to say no.
Well, no, I took and, you know, I learned a couple years ago, my plaid jacket, it's sitting downstairs in mothballs.
Yeah. Timmy, I was looking at I'm not laughing, Timmy. I was a very good. And by the way, there is a drinking game that's going on, Timmy. And when you say this stage of the game, everybody took a drink. So just so you know, that's what goes on.
Well, you know what? If now that I know that's the case, we're going to have a bunch of souses in the chat room real quick, aren't we?
Chat room's kind of light. I did see the great Lenny Melnick.
Mm.
He was out there for a while. It was funny, Timmy.
Yeah.
I was just I was vamping before we got on the air last week, saying maybe it'll be my last show because I always reassess whether I'm going to do the show again, and I'm going to do the show, you know. So and then Lenny like texts me like, well, if you don't want to do the show, Rich, I'll host for you. I'm like, I mean, the corpse isn't even warm yet. I got people wanting my chop temp. I was like, come on.
The flowers haven't even died on the headstone, right?
I know. And it's like, I thought it was pretty fun. No, I'm good, Lenny. I think I'm good. But I appreciate it. Lenny will be way better than me. And I don't need two people on this show that are better than me. I couldn't take it.
Well, you know, it sort of caught me off guard, Rich, because lo and behold, I never listened to the podcast once we're done, and I missed the intro, obviously, because I was fumbling around trying to get on the air after stuffing myself with chicken balls, and lo and behold, there's a post on the Facebook page saying, oh, the show's probably not, it doesn't look like, you know, there's a chance the show might not be going on. I said, well, yeah, I must have missed that part.
I mean, we always assess it. I mean, at the beginning of the year, like, I don't know if we're going to do this again, right? I mean, it takes a lot of work. I mean, it's a grind. And I think that it was fair to say, look, we enjoy doing it, but it's a grind, right? I mean, it's like you got to get up for it every week, Timmy. It's like, you know, we're doing this thing and we don't take any time off, a little bit of time off. And it's, you know, it's tough.
But, well, it is a lot of work. I'll never, ever admit to anything other than that, but it's still a lot of work I love. And you know my motto, and I'm holding true to it, is that despite what work is involved, once it stops being fun, then I stop. And that pretty well goes with my whole outlook on the fantasy baseball world and community, and it's still fun for me, Rich.
Was it fun for Charlie Tilson, Timmy? I was looking at RotoWorld as I was doing these, the depth chart, as I was doing this.
Right.
Again, RotoWorld is one artifact to take a look at, and they don't have all the answers, but at the top of the depth chart in center field was Charlie Tilson. Is that possible?
Yeah, I think it is. When you look at the other options, what options do they have in center field? Charlie Tilson, his contact rates are solid. His speed is good. The glove is good. He's young. Yeah. I can't see why there's any reason why they don't not hand him, but if he proves in the spring that you know, the hamstring's good after that injury when he got called up. If the hamstring's good, yeah, I think they're going to give him a shot in center field.
Now, you're a Charlie Tilson expert, Timmy, because, you know, I know you tried to steal him inappropriately by violating team rules, league rules, excuse me, in our Dynasty League. So you know all about him. What can fantasy owners expect from him this year?
Good contact rates and 15 to 20 stolen bases. Ignore the 46 that you saw that caused me to drool and break all the rules and lose my fab that I never recovered from, Rich. But anyhow,
that is correct, Timmy. That was your penance, my friend. Do it again and the same thing happens. Don't make me laugh.
We'll double up on it, right?
Stop making me laugh.
Yeah, no, but you know me. Whenever I see stolen bases, I start to drool a little bit. And it's not pretty, but I like the speed game. I really do. And I think he has the skills to man center field for the White Sox while they're rebuilding, which is currently right now. And, you know, he's getting no love, no respect in any drafts, but you could have a full-time player that could hit near the top of the lineup with his contact skills, stealing 15 to 20 bases and scoring 80 runs. And I think he's worth more than he's currently going at. I'll leave it at that.
I think you hit it. It's contact rate and a guy that's going to get you, 20 stolen bases. That's the player. It's a nice little player. It's
yes.
Not as much power as Adam Eaton has, but it's not that far off of him, Adam Eaton type of player.
No, when I look at the ADPs, I'd move them up at least 10 slots. At least 10.
Yeah, and Memphis last year, Tim, I'm looking, slugged 407. So,
right.
I mean, a lot of doubles. So, I mean, there's a little bit hit four home runs. So, I mean, maybe you get 5 or 8 home runs. And if he does that along with 20 to 25 stolen bases and bats 270, that's a nice fifth outfielder for you.
Well, yeah, wouldn't that be what Adam Eaton has done virtually every year of his career?
Yeah, probably value-wise, yeah. Adam Eaton's going to get you 15 home runs and 15 stolen bases, and you trade a little bit of power for stolen bases with Tilson. And I mean, Tilson's a pretty good defender, so Adam Eaton was a good right fielder, UZRs did not say he was a very good center fielder, but, you know, Charlie Tilson, I've seen him play in the minor leagues, he's a very good center fielder.
Well, yeah, and you know, when you look at the plan that you've developed for your NFBC team, hint, hint.
We don't talk about who we might draft. Okay, Timmy, let's move to the Cleveland Indians. The big acquisition they did while we were on break is they acquired Edwin Encarnacion, which I thought was a great signing for 3 years, and I know it's a lot of money, $60 million, $5 million buyout, but I mean that was a great use of their capital. He hit 42 home runs last year in Toronto. How many does he hit next season or this season?
40.
You don't think there's any difference?
No, I think he's going to hit basically. I think he's going to be the same player in Cleveland that he was in Toronto, and I shake my head at the Jays because if the rumors are correct, the Jays were offering him that same sort of contract, weren't they?
I think it was 4 years and 80. Timmy, you're up in the market, so maybe you know more. I mean, do they hate Jose Bautista?
I don't think they hate Jose Bautista, but let's face it, the organizational loyalties to Jose Bautista with Shapiro coming in aren't quite the same as what they would be if Anthopoulos was there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's true, but he's SOL, Timmy. He does not have anybody who's going to give up a draft compensation for him in the first round. It's not going to happen unless the A's do it or something like that, who's got their protected pick. I mean, he's in deep trouble.
Yeah, he's writing some checks. His ego's writing some checks. Right now, the results aren't quite there to cash. You know, you look at, going back to last spring, I'm not giving the Jays a hometown discount. I'm worth 6 years at $150 million. Well, I think Jose Bautista's finding out that, no, you're not worth 6 years at $150 million. Or 5 years, $30 million a year. Right now, the market says you're probably worth maybe the qualifying offer if the Jays feel like coughing it up.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get it, Tammy. And I've heard, I know no inside information. I did call about Giolito and some other things, but I didn't call anybody about Jose Bautista. I wouldn't even know who to call about that. But the writings, some of the people that have written articles about it, at least up in Toronto, have said they didn't like the clubhouse chemistry going on in Toronto. We're looking to change that around.
Well, and hey, I don't know. All I know is that, you know, he was a very, very powerful individual, Rich. And you okay?
Oh, I thought I had it on mute. No?
No. We caught the whole performance. Not bad.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was horrible. Oh, I'm so sorry, Timmy.
You still have a second lung. I'm convinced of it. You're okay.
Wow. Wow. I'm so sorry, everybody. I apologize. I'll try to edit that out. That was disgusting. Let me see what we're at 9 o'clock.
You're sick, Rich.
It's funny, Timmy. I don't feel bad at all. I just got that crap in your lungs. That's not my lungs. It's in my – I don't know where it is, Timmy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You were saying?
What was I saying? Yeah, you're alive. That's a good thing. I think that's what I was saying, right?
I can't believe this mute button didn't work.
Yeah, well, maybe it did, and you were just coughing too loud and it overrode it. I don't know.
I don't know. Timmy, stop.
I'm not helping, am I, Rich? It's hard to deviate from
Timmy,
being...
I told you, you cannot make me laugh. You just did, and I had to put... Did you hear that one?
No, I missed that one, but...
Okay.
Rich, I'm a smart ass. It's hard to. You're asking a lot here, my friend. You really are. But getting back to Bautista, yeah, I could see where there was a possibility for clubhouse issues. He's a very strong individual, and he's going to be eating some crow. And if he needs help with the recipe, tell him to give me a call.
Timmy, do you have a recipe for crow?
I've eaten it enough, Rich. I sure do.
I know. Let's see. What was I? You ate some crow last year. What bet did I win? I forgot.
I can't remember. It was probably Bung Ho Park. I was chewing on some crow for that
Bung Ho. Yes, I was chewing on some Buxton versus Michael Reed. Serious crow there. I don't know who's got the worst crow on that, but I think you did. Nah. Yeah. Yeah. Buxton came out of nowhere, but you were so high on Bung Ho Park.
Yeah. Oops.
Yeah, we both blew it on separate ones. Timmy, Francisco Lindor at 301, 15 home runs, 19 stolen bases. He did it at age 22. Contact rate is great. Walked nearly 10% of the time. It seems like this kid is on the doorstep of doing something even better. Do you think he can steal 30 bases?
I'll go mid-20s. I don't think we'll see 30 out of him, but mid-20s for sure. And you know what? The kid's 22 years old. He's already playing at an exceptionally high level. I think there is definitely more and better to come, and I think it'll be a steady growth curve through his mid to latter 20s. Nice ball player. He really is.
Okay, so give me batting average, home runs, and stolen bases for this year.
300, 18, and 24.
That's a first-round draft pick, Timmy.
It's getting up there, yeah.
Or late or early second round. That's a really good player.
Yeah, he is a good player. There's no doubt about it. Between you, me, and the fence post, I'd rather have him than Corey Seager.
Wow, Timmy, that's blasphemy, man. I mean, Corey Seager is the current NL Rookie of the Year. He went he's going at the beginning of the second round. He has no speed, but he's got potentially 30, 35 home run pop. How could you say that?
He has no speed.
Yeah, that's the problem. I think the batting average is a little inflated last year or so.
Yeah, I just think Lindor is an all-round package, generates more interest, to me at least, than Corey Seager.
It's funny, Timmy, if I can toot my own horn here for a moment and hopefully not cough it. When Francisco Lindor first came out, I had never seen him before. And I wrote typical, you know, kind of what the stat lines were saying and stuff I heard that I didn't know if the offensive game was going to play. And I didn't have him ranked all that high. And then I had a chance to see him, Timmy. I saw him in batting practice. And I thought the kid had great bat speed And I thought he was – I got him going down the first baseline. He had like 55, 60 speed going. I think it was 4.1 something, 4.18 or something like that. And I'm going, dude, this guy is – defensively, you knew he was going to be good. I'm thinking the offensive chops are going to be here. And all of a sudden I pushed him way up, and people are going, you're out of your mind. Last year you didn't like him. Now you like him. What can we believe? And I'm like, well, I finally saw the guy. This guy's really going to be good. And, Timmy, mm-hmm. I was so confident after seeing I tried to acquire him in Dynasty Leagues, and I wasn't able to, but I really liked him after seeing him. I think it was 3 years ago that I saw him.
Yeah, you know, one of the problems I had with Lindor is I saw a guy that was 10 to 15 home runs and 20, 25 stolen bases potentially. But one of the problems I had with Lindor is I saw him in the Arizona Fall League, and he looked
so
genuinely
tired.
Yeah, he looked genuinely disinterested in the whole thing, right? Like, you could see the glove was there, but it's one of those things with the Arizona Fall League that you got to take some of your results and some of the things you see with a grain of salt, because it's at the end of the year, and not everybody is as keen on performing at a May level in November as others. And I don't think Lindor was one of those players. It sort of skewed my perception of him a bit, Rich.
Yeah, Alex Verdugo was that for me this year, Timmy. Talk about a guy who was like, when can I go home? I mean, he didn't care.
Yeah.
I mean, it just was loafing down first baseline. It's like, dude, mm-hmm. I've seen you play. You can do better than this.
Well, exactly. And it becomes a bit of a challenge, doesn't it, when you're looking at trying to assess some of these kids. When you see something like that, knowing what that potential is, you've got to be very, very careful in how you assess players. I remember watching Mike Trout in the Arizona Fall League, and it was horrible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's why, Timmy, it's good to see players more than once, because that's you really need to do that. And that's what professional scouts will do. They will sit on Francisco Lindor for multiple series before they'll write him up. And
right.
that's what these guys get paid for. I will hopefully see somebody over a series and get a good look at them. But if you
mm-hmm.
catch them on a bad day, Timmy, that they didn't get a good night's sleep, they got a hocking up a lung like I am, and all of a sudden
right.
they look like they're loafing or they're tired or whatever, and it's you write up something bad, and it's the wrong impression of them. It's the spoils of the trade.
Yeah, it's like this year for me with Gleyber Torres. Every game I saw, he was horrible. Yeah.
Really?
I
saw him.
He
looked great. Yeah, he looked great when I saw him, Timmy.
I must have caught all three bad games, okay? And in the process, the opinion that I have based on what I've seen is probably not the accurate and right one.
Yeah.
But it's what I saw.
Well, somebody that I saw, Timmy, for the Detroit Tiger is Joe Jimenez, or Jimenez, probably. I think he's going to get save opportunities this year. What do you think?
Give me a second here. I got to lift the tablecloth again. Yep,
ah.
It's there. It's etched, Rich. It's good as gold, and I agree with you. If they move K-Rod, I think there's a good chance that he sees work in the ninth inning.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a guy that you should stash very late, or if you're in a shallow league, just – and move him from the etching to somewhere taped to your computer or to your phone, so that as soon as you see K-Rod getting moved, you know who's going to get the opportunities there. Let's talk about Jordan Zimmermann.
Okay.
Timmy, he was terrible last year. His ADP is down to 321. I checked, in the NFBC, he's going just after Irving Santana and right before Jason Hamill. This is not good. This is Jordan Zimmermann, who I think was our inaugural steak and liquor bet, if I recall.
Hmm.
I had Jordan Zimmermann, and you had the Cuban guy.
Yeah,
who was
the
that?
Cuban guy. Yeah, that pretty well sums that bet up, I think.
Well, I can't remember his name, Timmy. And your guy never made it out of Double A, and my guy was great.
Yeah, my guy's still probably in Double A or in Japan.
Let me stop making me laugh. Okay. Timmy, the brain cells have just gone. I can't even remember who the guy was.
Yeah, no, I can't either. That's how significant he's been to the overall picture.
But anyway, is Jordan Zimmermann done? I mean, what happened? He signed a huge contract.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of faith in a bounce back there. As a matter of fact, when I look at the pitchers in and around the area where he is going, I would much rather own Daniel Norris at 331, six starting pitchers later, than I would betting on Jordan Zimmermann. How's that?
I don't know. You know, I love me some Daniel Norris. You're right. He's going at 330. Let me sort this by my starting pitcher, Timmy. Let me do that.
Yeah, NFC. I just go to stats, and it's sitting right there. Stats is already reporting it, Rich.
Yeah, I saw that. I didn't end up to get in the league early, but oh well. Yeah, you're right. It's Australia. I don't know, Jordan Zimmermann versus Irvine Santana, Alex Cobb. I think I'd rather have Alex Cobb and take the risk on there. Dan Straley, I don't really care. Brandon Finnegan versus Jordan Zimmermann. Pass on both of those. Yeah, you're right. What about Trevor Bauer?
I'd move Daniel Norris up ahead of that group if it was me. I believed in what I saw in September, and I think it's only going to get better. He's a target of mine right across the board in every redraft league I can get my hands on him. I want Surfer Boy. That's it. That's all.
Good man, Timmy. You're a good man. You listen well. Okay, let me give you. You have to pick one of these guys.
Yep.
One of these guys has to stay on your team the entire season. Jordan Zimmermann or Gio Gonzalez?
Oh, wow. That's a heck
that's
of an
really
offer,
bad, right? That's bad.
I'm going to go with Gio Gonzalez and hope he gets hurt. How's that?
Yeah, I think that might be wise. Wow. I would avoid both of those guys.
Yeah, like the plague.
Let's go to Kansas City Royals. Does Kelvin Herrera hit the upper echelon of closers, Timmy? Top five, top ten?
Yes, I love me some Kelvin Herrera. You know, he's safe, he's secure, he's a good pitcher. He's going too late right now, and he is going to climb draft boards. And my take is by the time we're done, say middle of March, he's going in the top ten closers off the board.
Yeah, well, I agree. I was trying to get him as my second guy, Timmy. Went, unfortunately, seven or eight picks before me, and I wanted him. What about Danny Duffy? Danny Duffy is a guy that, again, he's been slow to, after coming up as one of the chosen guys in Kansas City, had Tommy John surgery, struggled coming back from Tommy John surgery, and also in last year, 9.5 strikeouts for 9, 2.1 walks for 9. He gave up 27 home runs. ERA and WHIP were 3.51 and 1.14. He's a 28th starting pitcher off the board. I'm struggling with the 27 home runs, Timmy, but other than that, he looks very, very good.
Yeah, he does look good, Rich. And I really like Danny Duffy. I don't know if you heard this story, but I actually had the pleasure of talking with Danny Duffy while he was charting pitches in the AFL. And you'd never believe what we discussed. If you had a guess of anything as to what our discussion hinged around, what would you have picked?
Timmy, my friend, you know I love you to death, right? You have told the story before.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you talked about Japanese pitchers, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, my sometimers must be kicking up, Rich. Sorry about that.
Timmy, stop making me laugh. I'm not allowed tonight. Japanese? I should have played along. Timmy, no. Who were you talking about?
We were talking about Yu Darvish because he wondered what the kid was like, eh? And we ended up talking about Yu Darvish for a few minutes. I found Duffy to be very engaging, very polite, well-mannered young gentleman, and it was a privilege to have the opportunity to talk to him for a few minutes.
Very affable, Tim. He's a very affable guy. So you have a soft spot in your heart for young Mr. Danny Duffy.
Yes, I do, but he's still not a number two for me. Sorry, Danny.
Okay,
I'm
looking at NPC here, Timmy. Danny Duffy, 36th pitcher off the board, 28th, if I did the math right, 28th starting pitcher. Him versus Rick Porcello, the reigning AL Cy Young winner.
I would probably take Porcello, and the guy I would take before both of them is the guy right after him.
Yeah, I know, Jose Quintana. What about Julio Teheran? A really good pitcher. He probably went about four games, but Julio Teheran.
That one, I'd probably go with Duffy there. I'd move him back a bit, but not. I'd take Duffy before Tehran. My big concern is the fact that his career high in innings pitched was last year at 179. If I'm looking for a number two, I want a guy who's got a reasonably good history of getting close to the 200 inning mark.
I agree.
And that's why Quintana wins that battle.
I want to go three more pitchers down to me. I think this is fun.
Okay.
After Julio Tehran, Gerrit Cole, tons of ability, tons of talent, a barking elbow, Timmy, that made him miss a good part of last season. Does that barking elbow fall off this year?
I don't know if it does, but I'm not going to pay the price to find out.
Neither am I. I completely agree with you there. Speaking of a barking elbow, but now a thoracic syndrome. I mean, you got Matt Harvey coming in as the next starting pitcher after that. What are you doing with him, and what are you doing with the next guy? Felix Hernandez, the great Felix Hernandez, Timmy, is all the way down as a number three pitcher in fantasy.
I want to see what Harvey looks like in the spring. If I was drafting right now, it would be a pass for me. Looking at the success rate on that particular surgery, it's not good, is it?
It's not. It's relatively new.
Mm-hmm. And being all of that, that's a pass for me. I just wouldn't take that level of risk. It could pan out, but fortunately, I'm going to be doing all of my drafts after we've seen pitchers and catchers report. So that will give me at least a bit of an opportunity to see what might be in store for Mr. Harvey this year.
Yeah, I'm worried about it, Timmy. They could start off soon. They could start off very, very slowly as well and bring him back. So you might not be able to see a lot. Tell me about Felix Hernandez. I mean, this is a guy that threw a lot. He came up as a 19-year-old. Has thrown a ton of innings. Is it just starting to catch up with him?
Well, yeah, I think he's moved into phase two of his career, definitely. And the one thing that concerns me about Felix is, and again, I have to do a bit more research, so this is just off the top of my head, he pitched winter ball this year. And the reason he pitched winter ball this year is he wanted to be ready early for the WBC. That always raises a flag for me, Rich. I hate when people go off, especially pitchers. I still have visions of Daisuke winning the MVP in the WBC, and he never pitched the same after that. He changed his build-up to the spring, and it concerns me when I see a pitcher like Felix Hernandez stating that he's pitching winter ball so he can be ready for the WBC. I don't know what impact that will have on his regular season. I don't know if he's pitched winter ball before on a regular basis, but it raises a red flag in that I believe he's probably changing some of his off-season work influenced by the WBC, and it's just concerning for me. So I'm going to probably pass on Felix this year.
Yeah, I mean, if you like him, you could definitely, for the first time ever, get him at a reasonable draft slot, Timmy. But the strikeouts are down. I'm just looking at his velocity here, so thank you for – last year, Timmy, his fastball was averaging 91.21. That's down from 2015 at 92.83, down from 2014 at 93.59. And let's go back to 2013. So, it's been a steady decline, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happened is if you take a look at his strikeout ratios, which I just had up, he went from 9.51, 9.46, 8.52 in 2015, down to 7.16, walk rates almost 4 per 9.
Yeah, you know what? You can say he's going to bounce back and he's going to be the pitcher that he was 2 years ago, but nothing supports it, does it?
Nope. And, you know, you can sit there and go, well, look, Justin Verlander figured it out, right? Justin Verlander, I love what you said, Timmy, the second phase of his pitching career. Justin Verlander learned to pitch with less stuff than he had early in his career, Will Felix Hernandez do that? But the difference between the two is Justin Verlander's stuff still really good. He still throws pretty hard. Felix Hernandez at 91 miles an hour, that's not throwing very hard.
Well, no. Verlander, through all of his trials and tribulations, he was still throwing the ball in the mid-90s, wasn't he?
I'm going to tell you that in a minute, Timmy, as you keep talking. So,
okay.
I'm at it now. So let's bring this up. Justin Verlander last year was throwing 94.33, 2015, 93. So, yeah, 93 to 94, he's still throwing, which is plenty hard.
Oh, yeah, that's plenty good enough to get it done. I think what Verlander did was he figured out that the old Yogi Berra saying 90% of the game is half mental, and he adapted from the neck up with no deterioration, per se, in the physical skills, whereas Felix, we're seeing a deterioration in the physical skills.
Yeah, well, I agree. I think he's I'm not drafting him. I don't want him. So
no, he's not on. He has to fall a little bit to get my attention as maybe a number three.
Yeah, agreed. Well, he'll be a number three, Timmy. You can get him down there. He'd be my number three pitcher if I were to take him. I'm afraid to draft. I don't want him on my team. I just don't. I don't want
draft
him to get.
Daniel Norris. Draft Daniel Norris and Carlos Rodon, and you win.
Yeah, Timmy, you're speaking my language, my friend. I've been on Daniel Norris since day one, and he's disappointed me greatly. He's my Brandon Belt. So
this year that will change, Rich. I'm firmly convinced. And I know you've been on Norris forever and ever, and this is the year. I'm convinced.
Yeah. Timmy, let's go to the Minnesota Twins. I only have one question with the Minnesota Twins. Maybe I gave up because I had number two down and never got to number two. Does Byron Buxton finally break out this year?
I guess it depends on your definition of a breakout. I think we see steady growth, but do I think he turns into a first-round pick overnight? No. I don't think it's going to be that pronounced, Rich.
All right, let me say over 25 stolen bases.
I'll go 25 to 30.
Okay. Over a 260 batting average.
Under.
Ooh, okay. So... yeah, so the speed is there because a guy can fly. He can definitely play
right.
Center field. So the question, if he gets his counting stats on the stolen bases, he's got to hit – he's going to have to hit 250, 260 to get playing time, Timmy. Agreed?
Yeah, I think we're going to see 245, 255 this year.
So then you're going to – then you're pushing 25. I mean, that's going to be tough to get then if you don't believe in the batting average.
Well, he'll get on base enough, and with his speed, I think 25 is a reasonable expectation. But I think it's going to be slow growth. I don't think he's going to all of a sudden, like this year, bat 290 and steal 45 bases.
Correct. I agree with that. I think he's going to be. I think he's a super. I still think he's going to be a superstar. I just think it's going to still take some time. Still a very, very young kid that lost a lot of developmental time to me due to injuries, and it's just going to take him some time.
Well, yeah, exactly. How much time did he lose at AA?
He lost almost 2 years, Timmy.
And how old is he, 24?
Oh, he's not even that old, Timmy. He's really young. Let me, Byron, but you're making me work. You're making me work my fingers to the bone here, Timmy. Buxton.
Such a taskmaster I am, eh?
He is 20. He just turned 23 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
So he's really young still. 118 strikeouts, though, Timmy, and 298 at-bats and 23 walks. That ain't getting it done.
No, but again, he's 23. I think the skills are all there. Again, it boils back to that. Not everybody is a Mike Trout and dominates the game from the first day that they make, you know, they set foot on a major league diamond. And I agree with you. I think he's going to be a very, very good ball player. I think he might be a star, maybe even a superstar, but it's not going to happen overnight.
Agreed. Timmy, I think we're going to call it a day. I thought it was a great show, and I only screwed up once by coughing on air, so I think I coughed four or five times, so just one bad one on the air, and I'll try to edit that out before we publish it. I enjoyed the show a lot. I hope people did as well.
Yeah, it was nice to I was half tempted when I called in and I was going to say something like Lenny, that doesn't sound like you, Lenny.
Nah, I know. Good old Lenny. Take my job. Lenny's gunning for my job, man.
Oh, I tell you, that's funny stuff. It really is, Rich. And I really just want to wish yourself, your family, all our friends at Prospect 360, want a very, very happy new year and all the best in your fantasy endeavors for 2017, Rich. Get well
that's
soon,
great.
Eh?
A couple thoughts before we get off there. I'm now on the clock, Timmy. So you were talking, I got the NFBC guy come and tell me I was on the clock. So I'll select something after we get off the air. But just to say how much speed is going in this draft. Eduardo Nunez just went off the board.
Yes, but you know what, Rich? While everybody is hoarding those stolen bases, there are still stolen base opportunities sitting out there. You just have to bide your time and get the Kevin Kiermaiers of the world that'll ride in
yes.
and save the day. Yeah.
I will do that indeed, my friend. If people want to get a hold of us, I forgot to tell everybody, you can get Mr. McLeod at Timothy LMC, at Timothy LMC on Twitter, myself at Rich Wilson P361, at Rich Wilson P361. You can get Mr. McLeod also out on Facebook. You can go to our Facebook page. It's prospect361.com. Dynasty League Group, the great Alan Servinus, runs that, and there's just a whole host of people that are very, very active on it. I think it's probably the best Facebook page out there on baseball. I don't know anything else that's out there, fantasy baseball. It's awesome. And I have nothing to do with it. I actually posted a little bit today, Timmy, just to show you that I was a little ill. And sometimes I get annoyed, and it's, you know, and I love our listeners, don't get me wrong, but somebody said, who do you have more confidence in, Sonny Gray or Dallas Keuchel this year? People are just putting down what they think. I mean, how the hell do they know, Timmy? I mean, it's like you got a guy that has some kind of mysterious injury, Sonny Gray. You have no idea if he's going to be any good. Dallas Keuchel is Dallas Keuchel. He was overused in 2015. He's going to come back. How can you even say which one you like the best? I don't know how people answer those questions. So you do get some of that, but a lot of times you get very thoughtful responses to your questions. But that's the Facebook page for me, Timmy.
Yeah, no, I liked your question today. I thought it was a very, very interesting and intriguing question, and maybe it's something we can discuss on a future podcast, Rich.
Yeah, just for those people, my wife actually sent this to me and said, because my wife is very much into trying to help homeless people and people in poverty, and that's her big cause. And she read an article today on the Washington Post saying, in minor league baseball, that people are paid below the poverty line. And, you know, for every Chris Bryant who signs a $6 million signing bonus, there's a Dominican, Timmy, who signed a $50,000 signing bonus and gave all of his handlers most of that money just to make it to America and is sleeping on an aero bed with five other guys in a gross apartment and making hardly any money. So the question is I mean, there's no answer, right, Timmy? Is that fair? Should MLB do something? They're holding out the golden carrot of making millions of dollars, and these guys willingly do it. So what's the right answer? And, you know, it's a fact. I get a lot of very thoughtful responses back on that. And I don't know the answer, Timmy. It's a very complicated question.
Yeah, it is a very complicated question, Rich, but you know me as an individual, so you know where I'm going to stand on this one.
I saw where you stand. You want Jeffrey Loria to fund the entire minor league pay system. I saw that and laughed. Sell a couple of his artwork, and that will cover at least the next couple of years. I was expecting to say that.
Well, if I am but one thing, it is very consistent when it comes to Mr. Loria. There's no doubt about it, Rich. And I don't know. I just think that, you know, you got a team that's investing, okay, in their future with these kids. And as an employer, it almost seems like there should be some sort of an obligation to at least give them some place to sleep and decent food. Like, I'm not saying, like I said in my comments, not a penthouse suite, but, you know, they're investing in these kids and they're sleeping on air mattresses and taking food home from the buffet so that they don't starve, and they're eating peanut butter out of the jar. Somewhere that just doesn't seem right to me, morally right.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree with that, Timmy. It's hard to disagree with that. And, you know, I think something's going to come down. There are lawsuits out there now. Major League Baseball, though, is covered many ways legally because they are considered a monopoly and can pretty much do whatever they want. But it, you know, it would be, it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays itself out. But it's you can go out and look at it on the Facebook page. You can go out and read the Washington Post online. It's a very long article. But it's fascinating. And actually, one of the players they talk about is Wilmer Defoe, who actually made it to the major leagues, Timmy. And he talked about him going to the buffet and basically shoving his pockets full of food to have stuff to eat. And Timmy, no lie, back when I was a struggling musician, I did that many times. I would literally shove my – I would go to the buffet at weddings and shove my pockets full of food. And that's no lie. So I know how that – how that lifestyle is, but it's unbelievable that a professional baseball player has to do that, but that's what they're doing.
Well, yeah, and you know, I can relate as well. When I was a starving student, it's amazing how many meals you can get out of stewing beef once a month. It's amazing. It really is, Rich.
Yeah. It's remarkable. So it's a fun article. Not a fun article. It's a deep article, and I think it brings up a lot of interesting questions. Timmy, I think we're going to call it a wrap. Nice hour and a half long show, and I will see you back here next Sunday.
Yes, be very well, my friend. And if you have to, use your health plan. See a doctor. I don't want you coming down with pneumonia. That's not good, Rich.
Did the cough then sound good? Lori's telling me. Timmy, I absolutely feel fine. I have no fever. I have tons of energy. It's just this crap that's in my whatever. I got to – and everything I've read on the internet says you got to get it up. So like an expectorant. That sounds gross. So maybe I'll go to the drugstore and get some cough medicine.
Yeah, I was going to say Benulin by the barrel. Hook it up on an IV and we'll have you back to 100% for next week. Been a pleasure,
right,
Rich. Take care.
All right, be well, my friend.